side.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, somewhere midnight, probably. To all of you, welcome back. This is All Joking Aside, episode 102, version 2.0, whatever.
Yes.
I am one of your co-hosts. I am Gregory Cohen, and right over there is...
I am the other co-host. I am just Mr. Daryl Mendelson.
Yes. Now, as some of you, all of our loyal followers know, we started version 2.0 a month or two ago, and we're lazy. We're getting old. We're lazy, so we're not doing this every week. But the new format is that we invite somebody on, a very special guest, who comes on with a topic, and we amaze you by our general knowledge and forceful opinions
and our ability to not stay on topic.
That is absolutely, that's what we do best. And Daryl found our guest today, but I'm going to introduce him because
please do,
because Daryl introduced my guest last week, or last time. So anyway, here we go. Here is a young man, very, very talented actor, and
Technical person,
like a video expert,
producer,
stuff like that. His name is Spencer Weitzel. Notice I chose to introduce this guy who makes my lisp very pronounced.
Have you got it?
Yes.
Sounds like steam escaping.
Anything to humiliate you.
Yeah, yes. So we're going to bring in Spencer right now.
Hey!
Spencer, before we start, one real quick question.
Sir, have you now or ever been a member of the Communist Party?
No.
Your answer speaks volumes. You're welcome here.
Oh, no. I don't know what the right answer is,
Oh, now you're scaring me.
Yeah, in this room, who knows? Okay. It's really hard to tell. Anyway, Spencer, first of all,
hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I introduced you. I said you're an actor and a technician. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. I am indeed an actor. That's my first love. I'm also a bit of a filmmaker. I'm a writer. I write comedy. I love and adore theater. That's where I met Daryl. And I have, 15,000 different day jobs, and I do a lot of contractor work, and I plug stuff in, and I do a lot of editing, a lot of promo editing, and behind the scenes type stuff is kind of where I pay a lot of my bills. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a vegetarian.
Wow.
What else?
Now,
I'm a communist.
Excellent.
When he said he met me in the theater, we were standing next to each other at the men's urinals. That's our connection to theater.
Well, wonderful. Well, welcome to All Joking Aside, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very important as a video kind of guy. Stop blocking our logo. Move over. Okay, good.
There you go.
Thank you. What is your topic for the evening, Mr. Weitzel?
I have a pretty broad topic. It's pretty broad.
We like broads.
And it's broadly specific to your show, I think.
Okay.
I had like five or six things that I just wanted to talk crap about. But then I think what I want to hear most from y'all is comedy, not versus drama, but comedy a little bit versus drama in terms of like performing. And also as an audience member and its importance and use for our society. How's that?
My God. 30 minutes?
For
30 years.
Yeah. Comedy good.
Comedy good. Drama good. Also
drama good.
Good.
Society not so good.
Okay, that wraps it up.
Thank you all for joining us.
It was really fun. Thanks for having me.
In terms of performance, Greg's is a director, as you may or may not have known. So he knows he's doing a comedy right now at Long Beach Playhouse.
Hey.
So I'll sit back here and smoke a stogie and drink some coffee, and you guys have at it.
Well, no, I will tell you. It's interesting because I don't get a chance to do drama often, because I've gotten kind of the reputation of being the comedy guy.
Yeah.
But I love doing drama. As far as the effect on society goes, I don't think either one affects society any more than the other. That's my feeling. I think in different ways and at different times, they're both really important. I mean, they both hold up the mirror to society. So, I mean, right now I'm doing a production of Ben-Hur with four people.
Whoa.
And it's funny. It's funny. And I made a point of making the character Pontius Pilate, oh God, I don't want to use his name, a former president of ours.
Copy that.
Okay.
Sure.
And it's refreshing to see the audience pick up on it. It's not immediate. Probably would be if we had like Alec Baldwin playing him,
sure.
but it's not an immediate recognition. But as they recognize him, there is a dawning laughter, and that is very healing to me right now. And I hopefully to society. I think the more we can laugh at certain people, the less power they get.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to buzz in here.
Please do.
I disagree. I think they're both important. They're both certainly important. But I think when times are as tense as they are now, and of course, comedy can be poignant. You can make a point with comedy and still be to have a teachable moment and influence people. But for just the fact that there's so much angst in the world right now, I think comedy perhaps has a way of chipping away at that and perhaps makes people more amenable to being more personable and perhaps more caring and calm. I think humor does that. I mean, a good drama. Yeah. I mean, they're both important. I don't think the purpose of theater has always been just to instruct, although how can you not leave a show, a good show, and not have been changed? But I mean, I think comedy for me, my whole life, I've just seen how important it's been for taking really situations that were, you know, bad for some people who came to see a show and really changed their mood.
Yeah.
And maybe their perspective about life in general. Spencer is.
We don't disagree. I just want to jump in. Yeah, there was no disagreement.
Well, you made it sound like comedy was less important. I think
No. Okay. I was just saying personally, I don't get a chance to do much drama these days. Yeah. That's all. Okay. No, I don't think it's less important at all.
Yeah, drama queen.
Oh my God, Daryl actually came to see my production of Ben-Hur and thought it was a drama. I failed.
What does that say? Yeah, I was going to say, does that say something about me or about you, sir? But I started to say, Spencer, I want to put this out there for our two viewers. Oh, wait, I just heard one of them has just passed away. There's one guy watching it.
The guy is left? Oh, damn, I didn't like him.
Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. He just switched to the restroom. He asked that we hold off for a second. Okay, he's back. Spencer is extremely talented, and I just wanted to put it out there for this thing to go on in perpetuity or as long as I can afford to pay for the domain, that he did this series. Like, I want to put some things out there real quick. Spencer, he did a movie, a couple movies, and I just watched one streaming on Amazon Prime, which was like a thrill for me to see him as the lead actor in this movie.
Thank you.
So I can't relate to him anymore because he's that much better than I am. And then the other thing
wait,
is...
No, wait, what's the name of the movie? Let's plug this thing here.
The film is called Out Past Dark, and that is on Amazon. It'll be on Tubi soon. And some of the other streamers for free, but currently you can rent it or own it on Amazon.
And I'm not going to give anything away that'd be wrong, but I just want to tell you that I will never visit New Mexico ever again. That's all I can say. But the other thing he did, which I believe was of his own making with a couple friends, is this, a series that I don't know where it streams. You can see it on YouTube, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's called The Halloweeners. And it is hysterical, and the production values are so high, and the writing is so clever, man. And funny. And Spencer and the two people he does this with, why don't you give the, you want to say their names, or is that
absolutely? Yeah. Two of my very best friends, Megan Lewis and Charlie Jake Sanchez, are the other two Halloweeners,
and they are so good together. You guys,
yeah, excellent.
How many of those have you done?
Oh man, we've done like 11 that are 10 to 15 minutes ish, and then a countless amount that are 1 to 3 minutes.
I mean, those are your sizzle reels. Those are so
exactly. Yeah,
I mean, I don't. That should get you your own television show.
I hope so one day. They're all currently they got kind of scooped up and. They're on the Kings of Horror YouTube channel right now.
Oh, okay.
So they were like distributed to them. And they're making a VOD channel, like kind of, they're slowly growing to be, their goal is to become like Shudder, like one of those types of channels that you could like.
Well, that's wonderful. I wish you tremendous success with that, because they're just really great. But back to your topic.
Oh yeah.
What are your, You turned us because of, you know, we're much older than you, much wiser. Yes. But now that we got our bullshit out of the way, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I agree. I think I think they both just sort of serve a different purpose. I think comedy is a sneakier delivery system in terms of like sending a message or teaching, because you're laughing and laughing, and then on the drive home you're going like, oh wait a minute, you know. I've been more. I feel like comedy has saved my life more times than drama. You know, like I'm in pain and sick in bed like 10 years ago, and the only thing that got me like to the next day was watching The Office like over and over. But I think they're both important, but it's been on my mind so much, I guess, because A, the Oscars just happened, and B, Gregory, similar dilemma. I used to do drama constantly, and then I don't know what the hell happened. I did like, I love comedy. I did a comedy, and then it's just been like nonstop comedy for 8 years or something, you know? And I'm so there's just this little like nugget in me that longs to do the drama, and it almost makes it feel like it is more important because I somehow want to do it more.
Yeah.
I think for most actors, whatever you're doing most of, you want to do the other.
It's that, exactly.
Yeah, I know that's how I feel.
I have writer's block until I have to like memorize lines for something else, and then I'm like, well, you know, I'm gonna put the lines down, I'm gonna start writing other crap, you know. I don't know, that's I am certainly that way,
you know. I was thinking about the two of them. You can have comedy with a point to influence people, you're talking about the subtlety of that. Yeah. But then you can have a farce, which is just out and out fun for no purpose other than feel good. On the reverse with drama, can you have a drama? I guess you can. That doesn't have to teach anything. It's just strictly a good story.
Yeah.
So there's like two varieties of each. There's teachable things that are actually meaningful stories, comedy or drama. Yeah. And then there's some for just the out and out experience of the emotions that you go through, the roller coaster.
And I think that's what it all comes down to is, you know, obviously acting is there to evoke emotions in the audience in one form or another. Depending on what emotions are actually evoked, it could actually bring about some kind of change. And I don't know that, let's say, a farce can't do that. You know, I think you're right, the purpose of a farce is just escapism, you know, complete release. But in that release, what changes, you know? I mean, when you have, going back to the whole political thing, when you've got, you know, some staunch Republican and some staunch Democrat sitting next to each other laughing at the same jokes.
Yeah.
Gosh, maybe they might speak to each other.
Yeah.
And then spontaneously combust in the lobby.
Well, you know, Greg talks about changing the audience, and it his an example of what he does with his shows is that it'll change a person from an awake state. Have you directed, Spencer? You've directed shows.
I have directed very little theater, mostly one act, and then I direct most of the like the web series that I do, and some short film as well. Okay. So yes, I guess the short answer is yes.
Do you enjoy that part?
I do. I do. It's kind of the lower end of I'm a storyteller, so I always have a connection to kind of the whole piece. I never just show up as only the actor. I'm constantly this, and this might be to a fault. I have sort of the whole show is like a little bit part of my body going in, or the whole film. I want to serve the piece as best I can as the whole and not just be a puzzle piece, you know? I'm also an editor. So when I'm directing, I'm usually coming at it a little bit from an acting standpoint and from an editing standpoint. But I'd say I'm a writer before director for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you enjoy in a good piece, like the Halloweeners as example, you talk about what serves the piece. You're not there to necessarily feel like, oh my God, I'm the star. You want to be able to go ahead and serve the story.
Yeah. I mean, I want to know what is my utility in the show? Like what is my character's utility to the whole piece? I want to know how can I better serve this genre? Like even the subgenre, you know, when you're getting into something. And of course, sometimes in like a drama, sometimes it is just like show up, take a breath and tell the truth. And everyone else on the team is going to worry about the genre and piecing it together. But I feel like in a comedy, you have to a little bit participate in the subgenre that you're in, if that makes sense. Is that a soundbite?
You participate me bring something eclectic of your own into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think so. I think you have to have that. You have to have a sense of comedy. I mean, I don't know. They talk about comedians transitioning over to drama and then dramatic actors into comedy.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to do comedy. You've heard that before.
I think so.
If you don't have a sense of timing and a sense of just understanding the undercurrents of what a humorous piece would be. So and this is interesting as far as acting goes. I haven't done anything for a long time, so this is like a moot point, but when I was acting, there was a part of me that didn't want people I knew to see the show, not because I was embarrassed by what I was doing, but because I really didn't want to have myself feel like I'm featuring, like, oh, my friends are here to see me. Because I had that sense too. I wanted to know that the audience was moved. So if I did I love comedy. That's my first thing. Although I love comedic dramas, if I can put it that way. Greg directed me in a show called The Boys Next Door, which is a touching, lovely story, and it's got humor, but it's a very serious, endearing play. So I really enjoyed the sense of being part of a whole and seeing people moved and not necessarily even know who I am, and that was the pleasure for me. I mean, it's always fun to have family and friends come and say, hey, you know, did a great job, or hey, keep your day job, whatever they say. but that was the goal. So I mean, I think that's important. So in terms of the audience is being moved, I think us as performers want to be moved by the audience being moved.
Yeah, and we want to disappear into the piece, I think, as well. There is a time, I don't know when, but there was a time in somewhere in my 20s that I had the same feeling. It was like it became less important for friends and family to see me in the show, and it was more like, if they come, great, that's support. It always feels lovely,
right?
But you know, you switch to like, I'm doing this for the play. I'm doing this for something else, you know, and it's strangers.
It's almost
when doing
like
a play.
Yeah,
I've always said that my favorite part of doing a play is the rehearsal period.
Yeah.
it's that creative period where we're surprising each other and we're discovering things and understanding more. And, you know, in case of a comedy, knowing that, gosh, that bit didn't work. Let's add three beats after the punchline. And, oh, my God, it works. That kind of thing. Yeah. That's really exciting to me. Once we've had a performance and seen if that actually worked, it's like, okay, we can stop now. You know, this is so it's you know, then the goal gets to be how to keep it fresh every performance. You know, how to keep finding that new stuff.
Yeah, and how to trust it's also weird trusting yourself from like 6 weeks ago. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're week four into a run and like this shit is not funny to me anymore. and maybe the house is a little light on a Thursday, it's like, don't you dare start switching stuff up on Friday just because you had an off night. Like
it's really true.
We did it. We found it, you know. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. And although, not everyone reacts the same. You know,
there's something to be said, I think. Is my sweetheart Jackie will tell me sometimes. She likes to say that when I've been on stage, I'm consistent. I think there's something, if you find the beats, even if you find that, oh, I really want to amuse myself, or I want to go ahead and find something exciting to change, that at times you really want to resist that, because if you have something set that's working, and as an actor, you know, it's not you who that character is, so you can say I'm not feeling it because I'm not really that person. But if you get into the mode and you're actually those characters, you're living that fresh every single time anyway.
Right.
Yeah, even doing the same bits and the same way of saying something.
True.
We had a case, Greg. I don't want to make it so many people know who
it is. We'll
put it this way: we did something once, you and I, and some other people, and somebody had gotten kind of bored, and so they kind of changed things up, unbeknownst to the rest of us, something that was comedic and sort of unscripted, and it was interesting. It was kind of fun playing on stage, but I don't know how the audience how happy they were.
That's the thing, is it like shows at the same time we're consistent, but if we're doing a run for 6 weeks, there should be something emotionally, I think, evolving a little bit.
Yes,
while staying consistent.
Yeah,
as long as you're being responsible, I feel like being able to breathe, and if something new is found, if it's
what I always tell my cast is, what we have built during rehearsals is first and foremost a respect for the piece. And having accepted that, when I come to the opening night performance and I come to the closing night performance, I don't want to see the exact same show. I want to see the same respect for that show that plays throughout.
Yeah, that's well said.
Thank you. Quote me. I want a plaque. Daryl.
I will.
Daryl, I want a plaque.
Spencer, there is no money involved with this thing. You don't have to butter him up. It's okay. You can say what you really mean.
No, I'm going to audition down at Long Beach sometime.
When you deal with method actors, I'm not, you know, there's...
Well, I swear that was literally almost the topic I brought on.
Oh, really? Okay.
We
can talk about it.
I was ready to just.
If a method actor, and for those watching this who don't know what that is, it's a whole technique of getting into a person's psyche and sort of living outside the play as though you're that person and their feelings and their motivations and all that. You're trying to, you know, you're trying not to fake. You're trying to be a real in terms of feeling all the things you feel that you bring to the stage. That's it in a nutshell, I think.
That's a good way of describing it. That's a nice way. Yeah, that was. Yeah. It was like, oh, that sounds like a good method.
I always describe it as long as you feel it, screw the audience.
Greg does something that's very unique. It's called theater for no one. It's not very popular.
There is a reason the method and masturbation both start with the same letter.
Oh my God. Can you?
One man show?
One man audience. Oh, there you go. Write that down.
Oh my God.
I think though you're talking about the chain, how things change and evolve. Yeah. If you're doing a show and you're finding things internal as you're doing it in your relationship with people on stage, even in a comedy, it doesn't necessarily mean that you could do something technically different, right?
Right.
So if it's something you actually feel, the method indicates that you will automatically reveal those additional feelings and sentiments by just being in that moment. So it's not like you have to do something.
Yeah.
It's an evolution that you don't get, you're not fully participating in directly.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important distinction.
I remember directing a show that was a light little frothy comedy years ago. And one of the guys playing a lead character came in and did the entire show as if it was Ibsen. It was so heavy. It was like there was no sense of comedy in it. And this was during a performance.
Oh, no.
And I went backstage afterward, which I don't do. I don't give notes after we open. I just don't do it. And I said, what was that? And he said, well, I had a really bad day today, and I thought I would incorporate that into the performance. I'm glad you got that out for yourself.
It's kind of like the woman who gave the Republican response to the State of the Union.
Oh, no. I believed everything she said. That was a brilliant performance.
Did you happen to see the Scarlett Johansson thing on Saturday Night Live?
She was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
I'll check it out. I feel like you don't even have to see the ScarJo thing, though. It's just like, I saw the real thing, and it was insane already.
Yeah.
Wasn't it uncomfortable?
Oh, yeah. It was very bizarre. Very weird.
Check out the Scarlett Jo thing. I will
after this. That's great.
But yes.
Circling back a little bit, I did a show once that was like kind of a heavy freaking drama, and it was a drug play. So there are drugs all the time, and we're a bunch of addicts, and we're mid 8-week run or whatever, and we an understudy came in to be like the second, like my main scene partner that's on stage with me most of the time. And I'd never rehearsed with her or anything, except for like we had one little pickup,
right?
And that changed everything, obviously, because it forced me to be like, oh shit, I gotta be awake. Like I have to be, I was already supposed to be awake, but now I'm like really have to be alive. And I found, you know, just like found new stuff in it and doing that. So that was
exciting now and then. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Every now and then, if there's something, just some last minute little tweak can just kind of reinvigorate the whole process, I think.
Darryl, you know, even on a macro level, that applies to just seeing a show done by another director.
Yeah.
If you saw the same show stamped out every single time, what would be the point of going to theater?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can find a whole new message in something. Yeah. Just a different cast.
I don't know if you remember, Darryl. I directed a show up in LA once. Tiny little theater.
Which one?
I think it was the Hudson.
Okay, yeah.
I think it was the Hudson. Yeah. It's called, when you said it, the drug play, this was pretty much a drug play. It was called Does a Tiger Wear a Necktie? It was actually the play that Al Pacino made his debut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've seen that script, yeah.
Okay. It takes place in a very rough high school. And it had a very successful run. We did a very successful run. And then the producer decided to extend it, which I've always feared extensions. And the closing day of the extension.
Oh, no.
I was running late because I had hit horrible traffic. And I thought, okay, well, I'm still going to get there in time. And as I was pulling up to the theater, it was about 15 minutes into the show, I saw the stage manager running down the street outside of the theater. And it turns out that one of the actors who was playing one of the, you know, punk kids in the show came out for his first scene. And basically came out on stage, said a few lines in the scene, and then said, yeah, I'm out of here, and walked off the front of the stage, up the aisle, and out of the theater. And I literally, like 15 minutes into the show. And the cool part of this story is, number one, I caught up to him as he was getting in his car and getting ready to pull away from the curb. And I said, what are you doing? And he looked at me and said, sorry, man, I always wanted to do that. Okay. But I got to into the theater, and the rest of the cast managed to continue the show.
Wow.
Absorbing his lines. Or just, you know, moving ahead where he might have to say something. And everyone in the audience just assumed that that was part of the show.
Wow.
Him walking out. So it was really very impressive. And but that kind of made it a new moment in that particular production.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when things go wrong, it's like, even if a show is like irreversibly destroyed, it's a moment and we do it again tomorrow.
We've talked about on some other podcasts about how the things that we've been in shows where either we were on the receiving end of something happening, or we saved a moment from something. It is exciting to be on your toes and be able to do that.
It is.
Yes, but, it is. It's already
not the goal.
No, not the goal. Yeah, you're already kind of alive. You know, it's already like, it's so high, like intensity and energy doing live theater. Whew. You'll never forget those moments, though.
I wish I had been at that show.
I do, too.
Wow.
You could have jumped up on stage.
I would have. I would have.
There you go. You would have wrestled the guy to the floor.
I would have invoked the phrase over and over again, you'll never work in this town again.
Well, that was the nice upshot, is that we were doing another show shortly after that, the producer and I, and this guy actually had the temerity to submit his picture and resume again.
Wow.
So we were able to, you know, contact him and say, no way in hell.
Wow.
Yeah. Just in case you might walk away in the middle of the show again. That's insane.
So Spencer, is there a show that comes to mind? You've done a lot of theater. Is there a show that comes to mind that you've done where you felt, talking about how shows affect people and the public and at large, that you felt contributed to some awakening to the audience in terms of the show as it went down?
An awakening. You know what? A little bit. It wasn't my favorite script in the world. You know what? Edit that part out. No, there was this play I did called Handball. And it was the only reason, it was like in development while we were doing it. So the piece was kind of growing while we were doing it.
Okay.
My character was a bit underdeveloped. It was kind of hard to play. We started in LA with the show, and it was about a neighborhood in New York that was being gentrified. And the main characters, like the heart of the story, were the people who were getting pushed out. And I was playing one of the dickheads coming in to push them out. And it's this ensemble piece where it's like three or four different vignettes constantly just rolling and hitting each other, you know?
Cool.
I did that. I was moved by it, but we eventually got kind of picked up and taken to this festival in New York, and we were performing in neighborhoods that were being gentrified. And the audience were people, like, they were literally, they were seeing themselves in these characters because they were these characters. And I didn't know, you know, I didn't realize it until I was in that.
Right.
And I'm and I'm playing this guy, you know, and I could just like feel the hatred of my character kind of almost immediately, and fighting against that. But like that one really, in real time, you could see that one affecting people.
Wow.
And you know, there's surely countless examples where you see, you know, people are moved and they're crying at their shows or something, but that one stands out for sure.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it's good. And the writer, Seth V. Rosenfeld, is just a really, really great dude. And he writes a lot of theater and TV and stuff. And I did that in 2014, I think. It was a little while back.
So you were a fetus at that point.
Yeah, back when I was a fetus.
But still a person.
Oh, yeah. So...
That's right. That's right. At least in some states.
Yeah. Yes. We're going to have to wrap up.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's actually... But plug stuff. Go for it.
Sure.
Spencer. Sure. What are you doing now? What should we be looking for?
Man, should I give you like a little link tree? I'm doing some stage readings the first weekend of April with Inland Valley Repertory Theater. Mm-hmm. A couple of them I directed, and I'm in one of them. We're doing Dead Man's Cell Phone and Spike Heels, and it's gonna be a good time. It's a fundraiser to try to get a little money in the pocket of the theater companies so we can have more rehearsals and pay actors. That's coming up. I've got my show Halloweeners that is on Kings of Horror. I'm also soon to be doing some late night horror hosting in the vein of like Joe Bob and Elvira with the same crew, the Kings of Horror.
Really
fun.
Yes, it's a whole new world for me. The Halloweeners are actually, we are doing it as the Halloweeners.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. Those show times are going to be coming up soon. It's like double features on Saturday nights. Watching some good horror films and some bad ones.
By the way, just a timestamp, this is happening right now in March of 2024. Yes. That's where we are right now.
Yeah. But, so don't try to go to these shows in 5 years.
Now, once you've got definite links or whatever, send them on to Daryl and we will make sure they get up on our website. Yeah.
That sounds great. This was a breeze, guys. This was really fun. I could talk for forever. And a little bit, I wish we were in a coffee shop just shoot the shit, having fun.
Well, we can do that too. Well,
we can do that too. Yeah,
absolutely.
That'll be more confidential and personal.
Well, yeah. Spencer, we like to ask our guests after the time we spent together if, in fact, have we educated you and moved you to a change in your life where you feel like an elevation into your soul and spirit? It's a small little question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be looking into communism as soon as we get off.
Excellent.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the more and more we talk
about
it. That's
the right answer we're looking for.
the more we talk about it, the more it makes sense to me.
Yeah. No, thank you very much for being here. Really, really appreciate it. You're a great guy, and I'm glad you spent the time with us. Thank you.
And a wonderful guest.
It was fun. Yes. Thanks, gang. Thanks.
So this is the way we log off. Different ways every time, because you know what? We can never remember the damn log off. But here we go.
Am I leaving or you leaving?
No, you're staying here.
You can stay, watch us muddle through this thing. Ready?
I love it.
Be happy.
Be happy.
Be healthy.
Be healthy. And always keep
smiling.
Smiling. Yay. That's great.
Thanks.
Take care, everybody. Good night.
Bye.
Bye, guys. All joking aside.